Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The hosts at WEEI rarely want them to speak.
My name's Tyler Devitt, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. Thank you, Christian. I appreciate your humor.
They put up with absurd requests for the past week.
Would you do me a favor, guys, in the other room? Could you look this up?
And now they've left the control room to get behind the mic.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
This is the WEEI Producer Show with Tyler Devitt.
Next question will be from Tyler.
John Anderson.
Speaking of someone who's no clue what he's looking at, go ahead.
John Anderson, WEEI.com.
And Chris Scheim.
Derek Carr, however, is a guy I would ride tonight.
On WEEI.
It's a good tag for the open, right? I found that drop in your guys' folder. I'm like, this is going in today's open.
I told John if we didn't have an open to just play the drop of me just going university and just kind
of. Yeah, we have a drop of Shine where it sounds like someone took his batteries out and it's not edited, believe it or not.
Welcome to the WEEI Producers Show. As I have one eye on the Boston Celtics, who are about to have probably their worst loss of the season. You guys saw the Pistons and Wizards loss last week. This would be worse. They were up by 25 points in New Orleans to the Pelicans. An inferior team by all accounts. Like, the Boston Celtics are not a title contender right now, but neither are the Pelicans, who were miserable in the first half. I think they're up 63-47 at halftime, and right now it looks like Boston may have the ball here under review with 15.1 to go, 105-104. Do you guys have any thoughts on the Celtics so far this year? Because to me, they're completely underachieving, although Marcus Smart should be back soon, but you blow a game like this sets the tone for the rest of the season.
Outside of Jaylen Brown, this entire team has been disappointing. It has been. It is disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. I don't really understand why. I don't know if it's a chemistry thing. I don't know if Tatum's asking too many questions of Kyrie Irving or what's going on here.
That's his boy.
But this needs to stop. They had, at the beginning of the season, they had all the makings of a team that could compete in the East, especially the way the Bucks are playing. The Bucks don't look great. They look fine, but they're beatable. And the 76ers, you've proven, are beatable. And yet you just continue to disappoint everyone to the point where it's like, what are we doing here?
Well, I'll have to say, Tyler, from a producer standpoint, because this is the producer show, the Boston Celtics is the best thing to happen to us since Tom Brady left. Because
finally something to talk about.
Yeah. Either every other game or every third game, the discourse around the Celtics in the city just completely flips the other side. It's like, oh, they're horrible. They're the worst team in the world. And then you have, like, after Friday night when NBC Sports Boston puts up the graphic that says, breaking, Celtics are good when everyone is healthy.
It's probably a Max Letterman creation, of course.
It flips the other way every other day. Which, like I said, phenomenal for us, but for them as a team, it's just no one knows what to think of them.
The Celtics fans might be the most fair weather fans in the city. Like, they might be, if their team loses two in a row, the sky's falling, like you said. But if they win tonight's game or they win that game on Friday, that's back to back wins, and they're back on the bandwagon. So, 15.1 to go. It looks like Boston may be on defense here as they're reviewing a loose ball play. It looks like maybe off of Melly from the Pelicans, but yeah, they'd be down 105-104. Going back on defense with 15.1 to go. So we're not going to make the Celtics the entire show, as we've got a lot of football here on the docket. But obviously, if they lose that, we'll take your calls at 617-779-7937 or the text line, the Dale E. Arnold text line, at 37937.
And it's the Celtics.
Thank you, Gwen, who, by the way, is back on Monday. And I know he will have a lot to say about your Boston Celtics tomorrow from 2 to 6.
I can feel him boiling from here.
Yeah, he's probably really mad about the ball movement.
The ball movement. We talk about ball movement. Talking about the movement of the ball. We wanted to start with the Andy Hart piece, which got a lot of people mad, either on Twitter or calling or through the text line. People who said Andy Hart's an idiot for just asking the question or is throwing it out there, the premise that Jarrett Stidham could be in the mix for the 2021 quarterback competition. I don't want to sum up Andy's words in my own words. Let's hear it from Andy himself on OMF yesterday.
The year two jump that we know Bill loves, right? How many times have you heard Bill talk about, oh, the biggest jump a player makes is from year one to year two?
With all sorts of positions, too. It's not like one position. It's everybody, yeah.
Everybody. But if there's one position that probably needs more seasoning than any, we can agree it's quarterback.
Yep.
Especially after his story coming out of Auburn that, you know, the offense wasn't good as last year, the scheme and the talent around him, all those things. Whatever. So he loses that offseason and just so happens to be on a team that many of us had said as of March, we didn't need to wait until September, October, or November. Many of us in the spring said they have no weapons. Their best weapon is a 34-year-old slot receiver coming off a 100-catch season who was banged up endlessly in that season.
Mm-hmm.
They are in trouble in terms of weapons. That's a big reason why Tom Brady on March 17th said, peace out, see you in Tampa. I'll have a Lombardi in a year. And Jarrett Stidham never got his chance to have the year two jump. So was he like a year two player last year, or was he kind of like a year 1.2
He was a year
player,
two player.
Year 1.3
No, he was a year two player who never got a chance to play at all.
I don't think he ever got a chance to prepare. And Bill's smart enough to know. If I'm smart enough to know his weapons stink, Bill's smart enough to know his weapons stink and his offense stinks. He didn't want to throw, potentially, I'm sort of reading again from afar, he didn't want to throw Jarrett Stidham. That's one of my pet peeves. Not Jared. Jarrett Stidham.
TT.
To the Wolves, right? And now he's got another year under his belt. He worked with a guy who maybe his skills are a little bit more similar to his, because I don't know if you heard coming out of high school, he was a dual-threat quarterback.
I did. He was ranked ahead of Lamar Jackson as dual-threat quarterback coming out of high school.
Boom! So now he's worked with a guy who's a runner and a thrower, theoretically. At least he still runs. He can't really throw anymore, but Jarrett knows how to run, how to throw. So he did all of that. We'll see. He did all of that. Is it not easy to foresee him taking that year two jump in year three? And oh, by the way, the team may be better around him because they have $60 million. They have the 15th pick in the draft.
So that's Andy Hart saying that the year two jump could happen in year three for Jarrett Stidham. Is Andy Hart crazy to throw this out there, or do you think he's on base here?
To be completely honest, I'm done with Jarrett Stidham. If you thought that there was any possibility of a year two jump, why didn't you give him an opportunity at the end of the season? I understand that coming into the season, you didn't really have the best offseason, you didn't have any training camp really. It was limited resources with the COVID season. But by week 14, week 15, if he hasn't picked up anything at that point, like what are we doing here with him? Right? Like if you can't put him out there for week 16 game that no longer matters, then what is it? What are we doing? What's the point of Jarrett Stidham even being on the roster?
Right, and isn't a lot of what Andy's saying is the weapons stunk, so they're going to be better this year. That helps every quarterback that's out there that could be playing here. It's not just, hey, you know, the 2020 Patriots wide receivers and their weapons stunk, so they're going to be better in 2021, so that helps Jarrett Stidham. Well, it also helps Cam Newton, who shouldn't be back here. John, what do you think?
Right, so 2 points on this. So first on the second/third year point, I actually do buy into that a little bit, not only just because of the COVID offseason, but if you look at somebody like Baker Mayfield, like can we agree that like his rookie year was completely wasted and his second year in the league was more like his rookie season?
Sure.
Yeah. And so this year was more of that second year jump.
Second year jump, correct.
But so I agree with Scheim, but for slightly different reasons. So like Scheim, your takeaway from this is like you're done with Jarrett Stidham, you don't want him anywhere. So like Andy's premise of Jarrett Stidham deserves an opportunity because of the COVID offseason, look, I'll sort of remix it and say, like, maybe it's not Jarrett Stidham's fault that he was not in a better position going into his third/second year, whatever you want to call it. But that doesn't mean he deserves anything just because of that. And I don't think that's the way Bill Belichick looks at it either. Because if he thinks there's a better option out there, if he thinks Marcus Mariota is better, if he thinks Ryan Fitzpatrick is better, if he thinks Cam Newton or Brian Hoyer is better,
he's going to go get him.
He's going to go. Yeah. So he's going to go with that. So the premise that Jarrett Stidham, like, deserves anything, yeah, he should be an option. But
you
they
deserve nothing in football.
By the way, the thing I would like to see the most is them hand the reins to Jarrett Stidham, because that would be so interesting. Like, that would just be so interesting to watch them do that. But that's not, like, the smartest thing for them to do by
Absolutely
any means.
Absolutely not, because that could easily crash and burn right at their feet.
Right. Do you guys factor in he only makes $1 million and that Bill Belichick, a guy who obviously loves value, could get a starting quarterback, in his mind, for $1 million like he got this year with Cam Newton, who obviously was horrible, and he don't want to do that again. But do you think there's some sort of value aspect, a factor there for Bill Belichick?
I think the value aspect is beneficial to Jarrett Stidham in the fact that he...
By the way, hold on. Jason Tatum just hit a runner with 0.2 seconds left. It looks like we're going to go to overtime, 108-108. Back-to-back buckets in the biggest points here for Jason Tatum, looking like we're going to overtime. So hold off on those angry calls. Sorry, go ahead.
No problem. I think that low salary benefits Stidham in the regards to the fact that he could become the next Brian Hoyer, where he's always going to have a spot
he
on this roster.
He could become the next Brian Hoyer.
He knows the system.
He's always going to have
Shoot for the stars, Jared Stidham, on the roster.
Because he's cheap. Belichick will always keep him because worst case scenario, my starter goes out. This guy knows my system. He can hand the ball off and make a couple throws here and there, but he's never going to start multiple games in a season for me, barring crazy happening.
So, Andy, we use a montage coming back from our second segment about, like, you know, Matt Hasselbeck and Tim Hasselbeck and Field Yates and all these draft guys, Daniel Jeremiah, who all raved about Jarrett Stidham being, oh, if he would have came out after he left Baylor, he would have a first-round pick. But because he was such a bad offense at Auburn, which I don't really get, it's like if you were a good player at the college level and you're going to be an NFL quarterback, you probably should dominate no matter what offense you're in. Anyways, there are people who said that if he would have left Baylor at that time and gone to the NFL draft, first round pick, do you guys care about that at all? That seems to be brought up all the time, but
I think it's a talking point.
I don't get it.
I don't really care about it either. The thing is, though,
with his NFL body work now.
Like, if that did happen, he probably would have been, like, not a top 10 pick, which probably would have set him up for better success, because, you know, teams pick in the top 10 because they are organizations that don't know how to do anything, thus they end up with top 10 draft picks.
True.
Thus, you know, every first round pick from what is it, 09 to 16 isn't with the team anymore.
Yep.
Because they get drafted by crap organizations that don't know how to build around them, don't know how to draft, don't know how to add free agents, don't know how to build a sustainable coaching staff and organization. Anyways,
does it mean anything to you guys that the Patriots did not take a quarterback last year? They did not take a quarterback early, which everyone was calling for, and they didn't do it. So does that tell you what Bill Belichick actually believes? Maybe something, like, he actually has some sort of belief in Jarrett Stidham to make that year two jump this year? Because why did you not take a quarterback last year when you had a decent chance in the first, second, or third round to get a guy?
I think the value issue is there, and I think that's the same reason why he won't take a quarterback in the first round this year. I think Belichick, above everything else in football, loves value. It's this economics degree coming back to haunt him.
He's like the bare naked ladies, Shime. He's all about value.
Yeah, he's all about... Exactly, John. Thank you. To the point where if a quarterback is there that he kind of likes, but it's his pick is too high, he's not going to overreach for him. He's not going to overreach on players that he doesn't think are worth it, right? He's not going to overreach on Jalen Hurts.
Right.
He's not going to overreach on Mac Jones this year. It's just not going to happen. If Mac Jones is there in the back half of the second round and Belichick says, that's above where I would have him, or like that's behind where I would have him, I'm going to go get him. But he's not going to use the 15th pick on a guy like Mac Jones. Like, he knows everything. He understands the game better than anybody. He understands value better than anyone has ever understood it in this game. You see it every year with the free agency. He finds those middling age guys going into their second, maybe third contract and gets maximum value out of them.
So what do you guys think about all the mock draft writers? Obviously the quarterback's the big hole here for the Patriots, and where are they going to address that, whether it's free agency or the draft? What do you guys make of all the mock draft guys taking, you know, J.C. Horn, the South Carolina quarterback and or cornerback, and not a quarterback there at 15, like Mac Jones would be the only one really available at that point? What do you guys make of just no quarterback at 15 at all? Would you want one?
No, I don't want one at 15 because all the top four are going to be gone at that point. I don't see whether I would do it or not. They're not going to trade up for a quarterback.
No.
So I don't know. They should not be taking one at 15 because there's too many other good positions that they could fill there, whether it be a J.C. Horn in the event that Micah Parsons slides to them. And then Gregory Rousseau I saw was on the Danny Kelly from the Ringer's latest mock.
If somehow Caleb Farley gets out of the top 10, like if you can trade up to 11, like that's a player Belichick will trade up to get.
Right. Like, dare I say, like, if they trot out Stidham this year, let's say they bring in a Mariota, Stidham beats him out. They bring in a Fitzpatrick, they go to him, whatever, Stidham beats him out. If they get a J.C. Horn or a Micah Parsons or something like that, they're able to sign a Hunter Henry and Allen Robinson, like I like what I saw from Stidham when he came in. I think you can win like 10 or 11 games in that. If that happens, like, I don't think this is they're as far away from a playoff team as people think they are. But whether Jared Stidham should or should not be in this Patriots quarterback competition, do any of you guys think he won't be?
Like, no,
he will be.
Right?
He will be,
like,
in the quarterback competition.
For $1 million. Right?
Like, it's not a matter of should he or shouldn't he. It's he will be.
You guys don't want him to. I don't want him to be. I don't think he's going to be anything.
It's how much competition are they going to give him in this competition?
Exactly.
Right.
Are they going to draft Kellen Mond in the fourth? Are they going to draft Mac Jones in the first? Are they going to bring in
Newman
a veteran?
In, like, the sixth? Could like, happen. What are we doing?
Or are they going to wheel back Brian Hoyer and just hand it to Stidham?
And we talked last week about Mike Reese's scenario of the Cam and. It could be a veteran like Mariota,
right?
A guy like Jared Stidham, and a drafted pick. So it's not going to be just Cam and like a two-person scenario. It's going to be a three-person, three-headed scenario. Pick the best one to lead you in week one.
I actually really expect it to be a three-headed scenario where you're drafting a guy in the fourth or fifth round.
Yeah.
He's basically going to get redshirted for a year. Jared Stidham's going to be your emergency backup.
And that's not
backup.
Sexy at all.
No, it's not. And if you're a Patriots fan, you should hate it. But at the same time, it's almost setting you up okay for the long run, right? Like, if you get a guy like Mariota to come in for a year, you have him start most of the year, you could probably win 9-10 games if you're using those draft picks on defensive players, right? If you're building up the defense. I think it's really hard to compare them to San Francisco because of the play calling difference. But if you look from a team building perspective, San Francisco kind of had it right? Like, they had a really bad season because their starting quarterback tore his ACL. They draft Nick Bosa third overall, and then boom, they're in the Super Bowl the following year. And they're going to do something again similar this year. They had a lot of COVID issues, a lot of injuries. They're going to draft, what, I think they're 11th or 12th this year.
12th, yep.
They're going to get a great player probably on the defensive end to replace a guy like Richard Sherman, and they are going to be competitive once again, heading back to towards the Super Bowl.
So none of us want Jared Stidham. I'd like to ask our listeners, 617-779-7937, or hit the text line at 37937. What do you think about Jared Stidham? Do you want him in the competition at all? Do you want a drafted guy early, a Zach Wilson, a Trey Lance? I think, who was it? Jeff Howe was wanting, he was proposing a trade-up scenario for Trey Lance. It was 2 ones and a 3.
Yep.
Do you guys think that's even possible? There's too many holes in this team for Bill Belichick to trade multiple first-round picks and a third for a guy who may not be able to start in week one. I don't think that's
I mean, his overall philosophy has always just been trade back. He's never going to do it. Agreed. Now, should he do it?
Maybe.
Well, the circumstances now are different than they've ever been.
Well, we won't know for 3 years whether that quarterback's good or not, apparently. So it's hard to tell now.
I am, without a doubt, the biggest proponent of Trey Lance at this station, and it's not even close. I've been screaming his praises since before the football season began.
Right.
I really like Trey Lance. I think his decision-making is excellent. I think his athleticism is top tier when it comes to quarterbacks, and that's kind of what you need in today's NFL. You need a guy who can play in the sandbox, that Patrick Mahomes-esque ability to improvise. It's no longer your Mac Jones where you're going to stand there like a statue and have 14 rush yards in a season. Like, you need to be able to move, and I think Trey Lance fits that very, very well. I think his ceiling is higher than a lot of guys are giving him credit for, and I think he's worth it, but I don't think the Patriots will do it.
Never thrown a pick in college, by the way. 26 touchdowns.
That's incorrect. He threw one pick this year in his one game.
Oh, did he really?
He did.
Oh.
He didn't throw his. He threw 28 touchdowns, no picks
Can't
last
handle the
year.
Bright lights.
This year in his one game, he threw, I believe it was 2 touchdowns and a pick.
Okay. Well, there goes the two Patriots QB options in the draft. You got Trey Lance, can't handle the bright lights, and Mac Jones eats too many cookies. So
there it is.
Don't bring either of them in.
Speaking of the kid who eats too many cookies, Mac Jones is a guy who seems like he could be up there at 15, will likely be there at 15. A lot of the mock drafts have him going, I think, 28 to the Saints is a common spot. Mike Rodak used to work here in this market, I believe, covering the Patriots for ESPN Boston, covered the Bills, and now he covers Alabama for Alabama.com. He was on the Andy Hart and Tanguay show, who Tanguay is not...
Featuring Fitzy.
Featuring Fitzy.
Tanguay is what, quarantined in Hollywood?
Fitzy's
right?
Made more appearances
Something
on
like
the Tanguay
that.
Show than Tanguay has. Anyways, Mike Rodak from Alabama.com was on the show this morning and said he would not pick Mac Jones, a guy who he personally saw play every single snap at number 15 for the Patriots.
Taking yourself out of sort of the closeness to him, would you think he was worthy of the 15th pick in the draft?
No, and that's, I think, the tough part for him is that he might be being elevated a little bit higher than where he should go. And I think that top half of the first round should be reserved for the guys like Mahomes, like Deshaun Watson, you know, in recent years. And, I mean, there's been a lot of quarterbacks drafted high that really shouldn't have been. You know, we saw the two that are traded and Goff and Wentz. But those sort of quarterbacks who can, when the play breaks down, make those ridiculous sidearm throws that we see out of Mahomes, run around, and just make things happen in a way that other quarterbacks can't. And Mac's not that quarterback, and I think it's tough to kind of put him in that category because I think it's doing a disservice to him. But, you know, if you're drafted in the bottom half of the first round, early second round, like, you can still be a pretty good NFL quarterback, and there's a lot of good quarterbacks who have come in that range, and they're just a little bit different from a talent standpoint.
So he wouldn't pick Mac Jones at 15. Doesn't sound like he would pick him in the first round at all. Do you think that there's kind of like an anti-Alabama quarterback bias because it doesn't work in the NFL? It hasn't shown, at least so far. Tua may be a guy too early to write off on, but is there like an anti-Alabama quarterback bias going on here because he has so much talent? The offensive line is great. Wide receiver is great. Great running game. Do you think there's some sort of bias there?
I don't think there's a bias necessarily.
From a guy who obviously is running for Alabama.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think you look at it, he had, like I mentioned this already, he had 14 rush yards in 13 games. 14. He almost
old
he averaged a yard.
This
is your Tom Brady-esque, I can't move except
run
in the
wishbone
pocket quarterback.
Offense.
You could.
Exactly. But the issue is I just, so being a mock draft guy myself, having done one for the website last year, plan to do one again this year,
yep.
Mac Jones for
get
me
clicks,
is,
baby.
Has like a mid to late second round valuation. Like, this is not a guy that should go in the first round. I think there's too many question marks. His athletic ability, his decision making. I mean, a lot of the time he was just throwing to wide open guys. So I don't think it's necessarily an Alabama bias, but at the same time, you know, playing with the Heisman Trophy winner at receiver, which hasn't happened in years, by the way,
right.
Is kind of a knock on him to that degree.
And right. It's,
go ahead.
So, and my thing on Jones would be, like, the Patriots pick him at 15. He's not in a position to be able to succeed with a team with a high draft pick. It's like what I talked about earlier when we talked about Stidham would have been a first-round pick. Would he have been a late first-round pick and ended up with a better team? Like that, like that's good for players like that. But Mac Jones, like if he ended up getting drafted by the Lions, like it would be a complete disaster. You'd have to hope that they are able to build around, add pieces for the next few years, and then like in 3 years they're good. But say Mac Jones gets drafted by the Saints,
he'll probably be good. Yeah,
he'll probably like the team
because
will
he's in
be
a good,
good.
System
exactly, and that's and everybody likes to say like, oh, system QB. So we're not doing that crap. This is the producer's show. Okay, we say it like it is.
It's
every QB
it's
is a system QB. Every QB needs everything around them. Off the top of your head, guys, has a team with a bad O-line ever won the Super Bowl?
No.
Every team needs these things to succeed. It's not a Tom Brady's
well,
a system
at,
guy.
At one point, the Bucs' offensive line was playing very, very bad. They turned it around, but they were not bad overall for
right.
the year.
Brady was also playing bad when that
true.
Happened.
Exactly.
He was.
Because they
the
were
team
bad.
Was
and
playing bad.
The team yes. played better, and the quarterback plays better. It's, yeah,
shocker.
I wonder how that works. But like Mac Jones gets drafted, like I said, so Mac Jones gets drafted by the Patriots. I don't think it's an anti-Alabama bias thing. I think it's an anti, this guy isn't good enough to elevate our roster thing with teams picking higher in the first round. I could see late in the first round, sort of a Lamar, teams drafting back into the 32 spots yep. that they get 5 years of control in the player. That's something that could happen with Mac Jones.
I wouldn't be opposed to trading back to like 25, 26, 27 and still taking Mac Jones there. Although you're not taking him at 15 like Mike Rodak said, I'm not ruling him out completely.
Mm-hmm. No.
If you can trade back, get that first round pick and maybe like acquire a third or fourth, like an additional to that, why not?
I don't hate it. I personally don't love Mac Jones. I think he's never going to be better than the situation he's in. Somebody
right.
I heard somebody compare him to Matt Ryan. I think that's a bit of a disservice
Charlie
for Matt
Weiss
Ryan.
Loves
yes.
him. Charlie Weiss loves Mac Jones.
Yeah, Charlie Weiss's offense is also outdated. He got smashed at Kansas in college, and he couldn't cut it. Like that's this is the thing people need to understand is that NFL offenses are constantly evolving, and we're to a point where this guy, the way Mac Jones plays football, is fine. It'll win you some games on a good team, and when he's in a bad place, it's going to win you nothing.
Right.
You're going to get nowhere because it'll all be determined by what you have around him. Situational.
Mm-hmm. He could be a Cousins. He could be a Derek Carr. He could be an Alex Smith. He's not going to be a Tom Brady, a Peyton Manning.
You want to know the perfect
and that's
comparison?
It's an unfair bar to set. I know it's an unfair bar to set because that's most QBs are not Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, yada, yada, Patrick Mahomes. Most of them are like that. The question is, do they go to an organization where they're able to have stability like that?
The perfect comparison for Mac Jones is Mark Sanchez. He's only going to get you as far as that team is good. Right? Mark Sanchez got you to an AFC
Shots
Championship
fired,
game
yeah.
because that defense was tremendous.
Yep.
Mac Jones could get you to an AFC Championship game if his defense is tremendous.
Right.
It's that simple.
That is Chris Chime, John Anderson, along with us from the Dale and Keith program. I'm Tyler Debbitt. Let's hit a trending, and we'll tell you what the Celtics are up to right now as they're in overtime against the Pelicans.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back to the WEEI Producer Show.
Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine.
So Cam Newton should obviously go. No one wants him back in Boston again. I don't think anyone wants him back in Boston except for...
Hey, be nice.
He's a nice guy, great leadership, great energy, but not good enough to play quarterback for the New England Patriots in 2021. I think they should go elsewhere. I think Jared Sittum should also be going somewhere. I don't care where it is, but just not here. We're going to get into Ryan Hannibal's piece at WEI.com where he took some realistic options, some long shots, and no chance. So let's start with the no chance. We can quickly run through these. Nick Mullins. Actually, he's not the no chance. Oh, we'll start with Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, no chance of getting him. Dak Prescott's no.
Yeah, all the draft guys, I feel like you can, aside from Mac Jones, I feel like they're all no chance. Like,
Deshaun
no
Watson. Zach Wilson, are you guys putting no chance there? Because Phil Perry did kind of propose a trade-up scenario.
I'm putting no chance because I don't
There's
believe
no shot you can get high enough
I don't
to get
ever
Zach
believe
Wilson.
That they'll trade up.
He would have
someone.
To fall to pass two and trade up. Like, both those scenarios don't seem very likely at all.
Yeah, not happening.
I also think that I'm in the opposite camp where I think Dak Prescott is still somewhat realistic. It's not like it's not likely by any chance, but there's still I still believe that Dak wants out of Dallas completely.
Oh, I do too, and I've got a take about that as well. You guys see what Jerry Jones has been up to this past week?
Wasn't he making money off of all the frozen?
He has been jacking prices on natural gas and profiting off of the tragedy in Texas. Meanwhile, you have Dak Prescott, Prescott is putting food in mouths right now, and I think he pays attention to that stuff, and I think that impacts whether he wants to play for
that
team.
It's the reason he hasn't signed a long-term deal. I think they have offered him a contract that was worth it, and he said, I don't really want to be here long-term.
Right.
In the long shots category here on Ryan Hannibal's piece on WEI.com, Derek Carr. What do you guys think of Derek Carr? I'm personally a no on him. I think Mariota might be just as good. If you bring either guy here, I think Mariota might be just as good in terms of his legs. He can run. He can throw. Derek Carr seems like he takes too many shots for my liking. What do you think about Derek?
Well, so, and I know Shime's a huge Derek Carr guy, so I'll see you for him in a second. Mariota and Carr, as we know, I'm a huge Mariota guy. I had the big take last week that nobody cared about. Field Yates then said the same thing, and everyone on the station talked about it the whole week, so... but as far as Carr goes, there's a lot of evidence that Derek Carr basically needs an offensive line or he's bad. Most QBs are like that, by the way. But the thing is, the Patriots seem to, aside from 2015, and it was very much driven by injuries, they seem to always have a good offensive line. So I'd personally be fine with Derek Carr. The question is, what do you give up to get him, and is it that much of an upgrade over someone that you could get for giving up less or giving up nothing at all?
I am all in on Derek. I love Derek Carr. I absolutely
love him.
He's
a guy you would ride all night.
Yes, and I think he is one of the most underrated quarterbacks in football, and he actually fits the Patriots system perfectly. He's very good at reading the tree. He understands when to check down. I mean, sometimes he probably checks down too often. That's why his completion percentage is so high. Also a reason why completion percentage is a useless stat most times. Just a fair warning. But he's also, I don't think he takes too many deep shots. I think a lot of the time he hesitates and doesn't take enough deep shots because I think he's a far better deep ball thrower than people give him credit for.
And who's been his deep ball threat?
He didn't until this year.
Renfro?
And Nelson Agholor had a revival. All of a sudden.
Yeah.
So I think he's actually a very good deep ball thrower. I just don't think he's had the option to throw it deep. And granted, New England doesn't have that option for him either. So I don't necessarily think that he'd be the difference between the Patriots, you know, not making the playoffs and making the Super Bowl. But I do think Derek Carr would be the perfect fit here in New England.
Derek Carr, however, is a guy
I would ride tonight.
Yes. Yes, I would.
That's very true. Sam Darnold, who apparently could be had for, according to The Athletic's Connor Hughes from New York City, he said he talked to a few league sources on if a Carson Wentz trade impacts Sam Darnold's market. A consensus, a resounding no. Remember, the Colts had to take on Wentz's contract and an option. That drives the price down. You don't need to pay Darnold. Starting point with Sam Darnold, a two, most believe. Would you give up a second-round pick for Sam Darnold to bring him here? What do you guys think?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think a second-round pick is
if that's what it is. I'm not convinced that that's what it is.
Neither
because
am
I do think he's better than Carson Wentz, and I don't buy that that doesn't impact the market, no matter whatever, you know, whoever that nobody in his basement just said that you just read his quote. Darnold is
that's
one of those situations.
Respectable outlet.
Nah, I don't know about that. Did it come from
Mike Lombardi's outlet?
If it didn't come from Ryan Hannibal or Andy Hart, then I don't listen to it.
That's
okay?
True.
That's my policy.
Oh, jeez.
Darnold is so clearly. Do we agree that Sam Darnold's good? The three of us agree.
I don't know that. I'm not convinced.
I don't think he's bad. I'm just not fully convinced that he's good.
Okay, so we definitely don't. Okay, we at least don't know, and it's for the same reasons why we didn't know about Ryan Tannehill for so long.
It's Adam Gase.
Why we didn't know about Kenyon Drake. Say it again.
It's Adam Gase. I honestly think that San Francisco is the perfect opportunity for him, right?
Right.
In the first round, San Francisco has that 11 pick. They can draft a defensive player to help bolster their defense. And then they can trade their second round pick in a future four. They could trade next year's fourth because it's not quite a top 10 second round pick. So I don't know how the value would work there. But that second round pick plus a future four, I think you could probably get that done. And you're getting Sam Darnold in the Kyle Shanahan offense, which takes so much pressure off the quarterback and allows him to just play and be okay and then hand the ball off and the running backs do a ton of work.
Aren't the weapons, though, in New York better than they are here? So
everybody
wouldn't his play take a drop unless he has, you know, that year three jump?
So everybody sort of, at least on our station, I know the three of us, we listen to at least 20 hours of talk radio a week. We hear people just sort of say like, oh, but the Jets didn't have any weapons, as if that's true. And I think that's very not true. I think they did have weapons.
Jameson Crowder is a very good
I think
receiver.
Ryan Griffin really came on as a tight end. Jameson Crowder was good.
Denzel Mims was quietly okay.
He came
for
on
a
later
receiver.
In the season. They do have weapons, and they have some good pieces on the O line too. It's Adam
Young O line.
Gase. It's
Young
Adam Gase.
O-line.
Miami with Tannehill had the same thing back in the day. It is Adam freaking Gase, and there's no way around it. So, but if Darnold comes here and he's coached better? I'm not sure.
I don't think Darnold makes you any better is the issue, right? I think Darnold needs to go to a team that's prepared to win, and the Patriots aren't prepared
to win. I mean,
a lot of people
don't make you better, though, is the thing.
No, that's fair, but
it's the bar we talked about before. Like, your cars, your cousins, those people, they don't make you better, but if you have a good
O-line.
Well,
they're going to make a good team better, right? This team is not good enough to bring in a guy like Sam Darnold and be a playoff contender, a legitimate contender.
Let's go to Rob in Riverside, who does not want Sam Darnold here. Rob, what's going on, and why do you not want Sam Darnold here in Boston?
Hi, Rob.
Hi, it's mostly because, honestly, I just don't think he offers that much more than Cam Newton. Cam Newton is really nothing, and all we have is Sam Darnold. If we get 200 yards passing at Sam Darnold, that's 125 and 50 rushing out of Cam Newton when we talk about time management. Next year, the Pats have a great opportunity to add more defense that they had opted out, like Hightower and the such. The thing is, you need a quarterback who's going to win you a game, and just Sam Darnold and David Carr, I just don't think they will. I mean, I understand that's, you know, that's an opinion that is my opinion. It's nobody else's. I'm sure a couple of people think the same way. But I guess the problem with that in all of just kind of thinking along that line is, listen, you're just not going to get the time Tom Brady who wins you the game. You're not.
Rob, you would agree, though, that Sam Darnold is obviously better than Cam Newton, correct?
Passing-wise, yes. I think he has a lot more potential, and I think with coaching...
Who's the better quarterback?
He could be dynamite.
Who's the better quarterback?
Right now?
Yes, right now. No, last year, of course. Yes, right now, Rob.
Tyler.
I'm sorry. Last year, I'm going to say Cam Newton. He was 7-9 as opposed to Sam Darnold, who is... Well, Sam Darnold was what? 5-12? 5-11.
Thanks for the call, Rob.
Sam Darnold was 2-10, but that's beside the point. The year before,
Tyler,
he was
7-6. I'm not being an ass to the caller. I'm saying you can't say that Cam Newton's better than Sam Darnold.
You can't do it.
You can
say that everything around Cam Newton contributed to Cam Newton having a better season than everything around Sam Darnold contributed to Darnold having.
But we all know Darnold's a better quarterback. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you just look at 2019. Sam Darnold was 7-6 as a starter, completed 62% of his passes for 19 touchdowns and only 13 interceptions.
Sometimes it felt like Cam Newton was like the family guy, like, I ain't never thrown nothing before.
Yeah.
And he just steps with the wrong foot and throws it straight at the ground.
I love Cam. I do. We play the disclaimer.
Cam is an incredible human, and any disdain we express toward him is strictly in reference to his abilities on the football field. We love Cam deeply and wish him well, but we don't want him anywhere near Gillette Stadium.
Okay, move on.
I don't want him as my quarterback anymore. I just don't. I'm tired. I need somebody who can actually throw the football and make a play on 3rd and 11.
And one person who does not want Cam Newton anywhere near a football team is some teenager on TikTok who apparently looked like they were at a flag football game and they're both on the sideline. Maybe Cam Newton was coaching this kid. I'm not really sure what the whole situation is, but it's a interaction between Cam Newton and it looks like about a 15, 16-year-old kid, some kid in high school. And the kid's just basically telling Cam Newton, you're a bum and a free agent. Here's the clip.
You ass. You're a free agent. You're a free agent. You're a free agent. You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I hate that.
You about to be poor. You a free agent. You ass.
Dog, you need a better response than just you going to be a free agent. No kidding. The guy's been in the league for 10 years, won an MVP, went to a Super Bowl. The guy, he stinks now. He didn't always stink. He used to be tremendous. He took nothing, went 15-1 and went to a Super Bowl. He took nothing.
I hope it's a learning moment for this kid, but I'll have to say, so clearly Cam, I don't know about you guys, the thing that makes me boil the most in life is when I feel like somebody is wasting my time. If I am devoting time to something and that time is being wasted.
Yep.
Clearly Cam Newton is there out of the goodness of his heart coaching this flag football team.
You can say Dale's name if you want.
I could have said Dale now that you bring it up. He is clearly there out of the goodness of his heart coaching this flag football team, and this kid is just being such an ass to him. And if you're going to like chirp someone like that, you got to have better material ready.
Think
about, have you guys ever done that before? Have you guys ever drawn attention to yourself in a public place and then right when you did it realized that you looked like an ass?
Yep. That's like going up to 2016 Peyton Manning and just going, you ass.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
I did that at a concert.
He's washed now, but he was never washed for his entire career. Like,
right?
He was good.
Like, did you watch him
player.
Play? I understand you might have been like 6 when he went to the Super Bowl or something, kid. But like, did you ever watch Cam Newton play? The way Cam Newton played was so unique and so much fun
Silky
to watch.
Smooth.
It was tremendous. And he was very, very good from the time he was a rookie when he first entered the league until just a couple of years ago.
I love Cam's response. I'm not poor. I'm rich. What are you talking about?
Like, where's your dad?
I'm not making money now. Yeah, where's your dad? That's a great one because the kid's obviously looking for attention. And it looked like he posted on TikTok. So it's like, what did this kid think that he was accomplishing by doing this? Calling out, Cam, a superstar, even though he's not good now, and then B, posting it on TikTok to make himself look better?
I did something similar to Kyrie Irving once.
What? I'm sorry?
Yeah, I literally ran into Kyrie Irving at a concert.
Hold on.
I think I rolled the audio into the system. Let me grab it. But I started shouting at Kyrie Irving.
What concert was this? Where were
you? It was Casey Musgraves. And, by the way.
Is that a country artist?
It was Casey Musgraves. Yeah, okay. It was at Governor's Ball in New York City. So it's on a little island just off of Manhattan. And so I started yelling. Oh, actually, I have the audio right here. Jake, make sure this is up.
Kyrie, resign in Boston.
Oh, he heard me.
I swear to God, I turn to my left and I see Kyrie Irving, that dude Taco from that show Dave.
Not Taco Fall.
No, not Taco Fall. I have seen Taco Fall at Target in Watertown
before.
And then Kylie Jenner or Kendall Jenner. Kendall Jenner. They're all standing right next to me in the pit there. And I started yelling at Kyrie Irving. A lot of alcohol was involved in this. I can confirm. By the way, when I did that, Mutt on the air used it as a reason to berate Kyrie Irving. He said Kyrie Irving refused to address Celtics fans at a concert in New York City over the weekend.
Kyrie hates the fans.
It was actually just me drunkenly yelling at him. It wasn't refused to address Celtics fans.
We'll take a quick break here, come back with the way that Dale and Keith and, of course, OMF ends their show every week is obviously the what else you got or a last call. We like to end the WEI producer show with a funny moment, leave you with a laugh. Usually something that's been happening over the last week here on WEI. That is next on the WEI producer show.
Now back to more of the guys. The WEI producer show.
You're a free agent. You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent. You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
Where's your dad?
That is a cocky teenager and Cam Newton getting into it on the sideline. It looks like maybe a high school football game, a flag football game. I'm not really sure what the setting was. But Cam Newton has now responded on, it looks like, Instagram in his weird font. What you didn't see. I see there are a lot of things festering out there that I see have taken place over the weekend. To the natural eye, you see me asking a young man, where's your dad at? But to me, talking to a child with everyone looking does me no good. So instead of speaking or going back and forth with a child, I wanted to have a man-to-man conversation with his father. People often forget his athletes that are often seen on TV, loved by most, hated by some. People often forget we are real dads, real friends, real brothers, real sons, real human beings. With that being said, when I attend tournaments across the country with my all-star team, Cam Newton, at Cam Newton 77, I've given my time, my energy, and my expertise to these kids coming into our program for over 11 years, and that is not what people want to hear or even want to see. People wanted to see me arguing with another young man to see me get my feelings, but the truth is, I impact kids' lives in a positive way. Make no mistake about it, I allow kids, he keeps on going, basically that he did not want to have the conversation that the kid was trying to bait him into having. It's kind of odd that he took a response to this at all. I mean, kind of just let it die today, because now there's going
to
be a story tomorrow here on EI all day.
There's one thing on Dale and Keith we hate, and it's apologies. We don't want them. We don't care about them. If you did what you did, just own up to it. That's fine. But, like, this didn't need to be addressed. Like, some kid was chirping at you. None of us were against you here. Like, none of us saw that and said,
I don't think he thinks anybody is either, to be honest. I think he just needed to say something. Like, but have you guys ever had a kid just being a little crapper to you?
And yeah.
You gotta put
the kid in his place.
Yeah, like, you're not, like, gonna fight, like, a 15-year-old kid, but you also know that the kid literally has, like, never left his hometown and has no experiences or anything, so it's, like, it's a waste of time.
Now, he didn't apologize. It's kind of like a clarification, I guess, but it seems unneeded at this point.
Yeah,
we got less than 5 minutes left in the show here. We'll close out with the best and funniest moments we've heard here on WEI this past week. We'll start with Chris Scheim.
So Andy Hart at one point this week talked about how he liked dipping peanut butter sandwiches in pea soup, which is disgusting. Oh. And one of my favorite callers to Dale and Keith, our buddy Jesse in Fall River, who is a legally blind guy who has invited me to his man cave before, called in to berate Andy Hart a little bit.
Pea soup totally sucks. It's like throw up. Baby throw up.
You suck. This guy gets it.
Well, come tell me this here on the way to Fall River.
Yeah.
Listen, how many friends you got?
You gotta have bacon on peanut butter and jelly. Unbelievable good.
Bacon on peanut butter and jelly. Tyler, are you in or out?
I'm out. I love both things, but not together. I am out on that.
Yeah.
Completely out.
Bacon's great, but you do try to limit your bacon intake to, I think, special occasions, like a Sunday breakfast or something, because that does that thing to the arteries where it kills you too much of that.
What I think I might try, though, one time is like a nice, almost like breakfast sandwich with like a bagel with some peanut butter, like a nice grape jam and some bacon.
John, what do you got?
So earlier in the week, Fitzy's What Else You Got was based on a tweet that was going around out there, which was, what is a quote from a movie that only hardcore fans of that movie would know? So during What Else You Got, we went around, me, Keith, Scheim, Fitzy sort of played some clips. And so this was Scheim's entry.
I went with one that's definitely not a deep cut that everybody should know. And if you don't know, your movie knowledge is extremely lacking.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Oh,
Scheim, that's easy.
Shime goes to the other room and pulls that.
This is literally like, what's the most famous movie line of all time?
So Shime just completely disregarded the point of the exercise and played the most famous clip ever. But by the way, so Shime leaves the producer's studio to go get that cut, which is in the system like 90 times already. And he had to come back in and he tells me where it is. So I pull it up and I listen to it and I'm thinking like, I have to hold this together as to not tip him off to the fact that we're about to berate him for, like, literally just not, all he did was just pick a movie quote that he liked.
Okay, in all fairness, surprised behind the curtain.
Choose, you're telling me there's a chance. That would have been a good one, too.
I didn't realize that it was supposed to be an obscure cut.
I realized that was the point of the segment. That completely
went over my head. I completely missed that when it was going around online and everything, and so bad job by me.
Speaking of things that go over people's head, Mutt, that happened to him a lot. He fumbled the English.
He's so short.
He fumbled the English language this week. He tried to say the phrase "light a fire under someone's ass," and here was what he actually said on OMF.
I believe in Tristan Thompson's mind. They are. Think of the teams that he has played for during his career. I think now he's put on the Celtic uniform. He's taking that veteran role and using that as a way to try to motivate his team. He talked about using it to light an ass under his own teammates, like that. That
or
that,
fire under his ass.
Yeah, that's.
Light an ass?
No, physically get an ass, like a donkey, and you light the donkey on fire, and then the teammates get fired.
Okay.
Very popular motivational tool.
Light an ass.
Those of us who know about
Friday,
that sort of thing.
Friday, 5:55 for OMFS.
Light an ass. He wants to light an ass.
Won't have any time with all Christians F-ups.
So Mutt tried to like bring it back. He's like, no. I'm talking about like a donkey, like a jackass, you know, like one of those things. Like,
light it up like a Christmas
tree. I didn't fumble here. I that's what I meant to say. It's
there
like
there are
tried.
Years. This vault of sound we have here from over the years. Some of this is stuff I even saved off a few years ago. There are some epic Mutt mess ups like this one.
And the question is maybe brought to you by the letter Celtics, the word Celtics, the team Celtics.
Speaking of the Celtics, quickly, before we get out of here, got about 90 seconds left. They lost 120 to 115 in a game they led by 24 points. Chris, I don't think you bet on this game, but it was an over-under of 230. They went into overtime at 211 and a backdoor cover. So anyone who bet on the Celtics or the under lost tonight in the over covered in the backdoor fashion.
I hate
hard
so
beat.
Much.
The NBA
the fact
is so
that the
tough.
Celtics are blowing a 24-point lead to the Pelicans is an abomination.
Worst loss of the season by far.
It's horrid.
By far. It's unbelievable. Brandon Ingram had 33. Zion Williamson was awful until the fourth quarter in overtime. He had like 13 points entering those two frames, and he finished with 28. The Celtics are now 15-15. Have not won back-to-back games, by the way, since the end of January. Like, this is a real problem right now. They're just an average basketball team, and I don't think it's all because of Marcus Smart, which would be crazy to chalk it up to, but
Trader Danny.
They're really struggling right now. I think Danny Ainge must make a move, but he's got 3 or 4 weeks to really evaluate what this team is going to be, what the market will look like, and what's going to be available in terms of buyers and sellers. That is Chris Scheim. That is John Anderson. Listen to both those guys with them on the Dale and Keith program. I'm Tyler Devitt from OMF 2 to 6. Glenn Ordway is back alongside Lou Maloney and Christian Fourier tomorrow, 2 to 6 p.m. This is the WI Producers Show. We're back next week, 6 to 7.